So with co-regulation, we're never controlling the other person's communication or being, but rather we're just present in the moment and responding contingently to the other person.
Welcome back to the Upper Grand Communication Social Learning Road Trip. Over the last six episodes, Linda Murphy, author of the Declarative Language Handbook, has been our guide, along with Kristen Smith, speech language pathologist, and our additional guests from the Upper Grand District School Board. We have learned a ton about declarative language and how we can integrate this style of speaking into our education practice in the classroom. Today, myself, Tara Ross, and Kristen Smith are back to chat with Linda Murphy, and we are going to be diving into Linda's second book, The Co-Regulation Handbook, Creating Competent, Authentic Roles for Kids with Social Learning Differences, so we all stay positively connected through the ups and downs of learning. That is a subtitle. I love it. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you for having me again.
I love that this subtitle is in your book, though, because it just lays out very clearly what we're stepping into, this idea of authentic roles for our students who have social learning differences, and this idea of being positive with the ups and downs. It's just perfect. So I am so excited to jump in. We're going to start at your opening chapter. And you share that declarative language, which we've just learned about, is a way of speaking, while co-regulation is a way of being. Can you share with us a little bit more about this important connection and what, again, prompted you to say, huh, I can't stop at declarative language. I have to write about co-regulation too.
Sure, I would love to. When I wrote Declarative Language Handbook, that was something that I think I could get out quickly to people to share information that is pretty easy to learn and implement. Like, it of course takes practice, but it doesn't take that long to learn the general idea. And after I wrote it and it was out there a little bit, I got a lot of great questions around what to do when declarative language didn't work, because it doesn't work all the time. You know, one tool alone is often not enough, and we as educators have to pull in a lot of different ideas that we have to support our students in the moment. So as I was answering these questions, I found that I needed to talk a lot about the other tool that I use quite a bit, which is co-regulation. And so from that, I realized I just use these two things together constantly. Like, I never think about one without the other. Just how much I pull in one versus the other is going to vary based on the moment and based on the student. But that helped me realize I really need to write this second book so that I can talk about both tools as partners.
Yeah, so Linda, for those of us who are not familiar with the term co-regulation, I'm wondering if you could give your description of what that can be.
Yes. So there's a couple of different things that I think about. On a very foundation level, what we're really just thinking about is being present in the moment to the person that we're with. So with co-regulation, we're never controlling the other person's communication or being, but rather we're just present in the moment and responding contingently to the other person. But where co-regulation can also then move towards a teaching framework is as we start to think about not only contingency, but also the idea of creating competent and authentic contingent roles, as well as contingent. So I say competent, authentic, contingent roles are the ways that I think about co-regulation. And these are defined on beginning on page 9 in co-regulation handbook. And I could go through each term if that's helpful now.
Why don't we wait to get into that a little bit later on?
Sure.
Because I want to dive into those terms and give proper attention to each of them, because they're, mm-hmm. they're really important into the deeper understanding of co-regulation. And I want to make sure we have one of our educators on that call when we do go a little bit deeper. But I would be curious about learning about declarative language and now learning about co-regulation. You've mentioned on a few times this idea of the relationship development consultant, and you talk about how these two concepts have kind of come together for you. How is this role as this relationship development consultant, while also being a speech language pathologist, so important to flesh those together?
Yeah, so I'm trained first as a speech-language pathologist, and then second, as you said, as a relationship development intervention or RDI consultant. And this is a model that was created by Dr. Gutstein and Dr. Rochelle Shealy just to support the development of dynamic communication, especially across social learning styles. So primarily geared, well, initially, I should say geared toward caregivers and their children, but a lot of the approaches can, of course, be then transferred to educator and student. And really, you know, when I went to speech therapy school, I learned about language development, the building blocks, motor speech, autism, social pragmatics, but I didn't really learn this framework of approaching social communication in this different way, where at its heart, we're present in the moment and we're thinking about communication as a dynamic process. And I know this idea has come up, but at the heart of it is we're not trying to control the person that we're with. We're meeting them where they're at in the moment and offering scaffolding and support from there. And the ways that I give through my language is with declarative language and experience sharing communication. And the way I give through my emotional presence and connection is with this idea of co-regulation. And I speak about this in at least declarative language handbook, if not also co-regulation handbook. But when I was training, one of the things Dr. Gutstein said was, we have to move from get to give. And this has always just resonated for me and been so important kind of as my foundation in all that I do. So I think in the moment with a student, am I trying to get them to do something or am I giving them the scaffolding and the support that they might need at this moment in time to be successful? And as we bring these tools together, it helps me maintain that giving posture or scaffolding posture versus more of a compliance-based model where I'm trying to get something from an individual or get them to do something. So it just helps me be the best educator mm-hmm. that I can be in each moment in time.
And I love that that concept of get to give, and I can see where the relationship development consultant piece might be assisting with that. Does someone need to be a speech pathologist or a relationship development consultant to use these principles?
Well, no, because that's why I wrote these books.
I love it.
I think if you know the RDI framework, it just, of course, it's going to deepen everything that you know and that you do. But what I wanted to do is not only, of course, help people know about RDI because it has taught me so much, but also I know that not all families and professionals can be part of the RDI program for lots of different reasons. So the speech therapist in me wanted to bring the two tools that I felt were most powerful and accessible to a broader community of people through these two books. So that's why I wrote them. Again, you know, tried to write them just in a user-friendly way that it wouldn't take you that long to get through them and understand what the tools look like on the ground. So that is, of course, my vision and my goal is that anybody can understand and try out these tools with success.
That move from get to give is so powerful. And I think it really shifts our mindset quite a bit around how we're interacting with students. And it makes me think about when we should be starting to use the co-regulation and declarative language. I am guessing, you know, as soon as possible, but is there a prime time when we should be using this kind of approach with children?
I think the important thing to keep in mind is it's never too late and it's whenever you feel ready to go for it. Again, as anybody learns something new, you first have to practice it yourself, maybe even in a procedural kind of way or a really, really thoughtful way at times that are good for you. Like you can't do everything all the time, especially when you're learning something new. So I always think about just start at a time where you feel that you have the capacity to do so. You have the time and space to think about and try something different. You can start small and let it grow from there. But no, it doesn't matter what age the student is. You know, I've used these tools with individuals who are young adults and perhaps have come from being taught through more of a behavioral model. and guided their parents to change up their communication in these more dynamic ways. So it's never too late, but it's also never too early. There's no beginning milestone that a person needs to meet before you can speak in an experience sharing way or meet someone in the moment, developmentally or self-regulation wise.
That's great. That makes me feel better about not being too worried about, you know, we've got all this time without using this kind of approach, and allows us to shift, but in small steps. It reminds me of one of our previous guests had mentioned that he was really trying, but he was saying, especially around declarative language, that it was hard to remember all the different kinds of words to say or the phrases to put. So he was going to use stickies and cue cards for himself just to get him going. So he was really excited about it. So do students need to have specific identifications for co-regulation to be a really good tool for them, or can it be a multitude of needs that child might have?
Yeah, I think it's good for everybody. And I know we talked about this with declarative language too, but co-regulation is just about meeting someone where they're at, honoring their communication, whatever it might look like, and building the relationship and therefore even skills from there. So we're all communicators. Communication looks lots of different ways. So being present in the moment to a different communication partner is important, no matter who you are, what your profile might be, or your age.
And I love that this is, again, something that we consider like a universal design where everyone will benefit. Again, those students who might have social learning differences might more so. But again, we all are on this journey to understanding how to regulate ourselves and to be able to partner with our children on that journey. I think every one of our learners will be able to benefit. So that is fantastic news. I think we've hinted a little bit at why you decided to write these books. Again, taking some of the most commonly used skills that you've pulled from your RDI training as well as from your speech pathology training. Was there another goal that you were hoping to achieve for both parents and educators by writing these books?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, what these two tools do is create, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, but just a positive foundation from which understanding, connection, and learning can happen. So my goal with these is, you know, not just for our students or our vulnerable students to learn and grow and be positively supported, but also for us as the educators to understand them and their communication better and learn how to respond to their communication, whatever form it might take, in a way that is authentic and supportive of them, that just keeps it all going and developing. So one thing, I know when I wrote these, I didn't have things like double empathy or neurodiversity affirming practices on my mind as much as I do today, but I do find them to be neurodiversity affirming and encompassing of the double empathy problem, because we really and truly are getting at this place where we're supporting social information processing and attunement to each other across social learning styles. So it's not just about the student understanding me, but it's also about me understanding the student, so that together we can understand each other better and grow and learn from there.
Yeah, and I would absolutely agree with you that I can see how this offers more of that double empathy. We are definitely looking at neurodiverse processes and better understanding, again, the variety of ways that we learn. And I think this is just a great introduction. Thank you so much again, Linda, for joining us. We are so excited to go deeper with learning about co-regulation next week with an educator from the Upper Grand District School Board, Ruby DeLille.
Thank you. Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the Social Learning Road Trip, a podcast presented by Upper Grand District School Board. For educators within our board, you can access show notes and links to our other podcast episodes on our SharePoint page under Innovation Lab. Other listeners can find our podcast and additional information on our parent website at www.ugdsb.ca/CLS parents. If you would like to find out more information about declarative language and co-regulation, please visit Linda Murphy's site at declarativelanguage.com.